Hi, Chuck.
Hi, Ron.
Hi, Hazard.
Hey.
How was your Easter?
It was nice. Thanks for asking. How was yours?
Mine was good. The Easter Bunny came to visit me at my sister's house.
What'd you get?
I got a tiger t-shirt, some cashews, some black jelly beans, and a box of Girl Scout cookies.
Black jelly beans. You can have all the ones you want.
Oh, I love black jelly beans.
A lot of people don't like black jelly beans.
They're my favorite ones.
They're on the Facebook. I was watching the Facebook the other day, and a lot of people are saying, do you like black jelly beans? If so, tag 10 of your friends, and I'm looking for attention.
That's nasty.
They're the best, man.
Do you leave me that pink bag, too?
Yeah. You like that, huh?
No. He doesn't live up to the Osaka blue bag.
Hey, I'm secure enough in my masculinity to carry a pink bag. You got problems, Hazard?
I just like my Osaka blue.
All right.
Just for the record, I'm playing injured tonight.
What?
I've got another calf pull.
Ron Miguel Cabrera.
Yeah.
Whittables.
I walk up and down the steps so much that I've overexerted myself again. So I'm wrapped in a heating pad.
You're like me. You need a house on one floor.
I do.
Everything on one floor. That'd be perfect.
Because Hazard's been after me to sell this place and move out.
Don't listen to Hazard.
House is too big for you. What are you going to do? What happens if you fall down and no one will find you?
Hazard's got more bedrooms, more bathrooms, and more square feet than you do. Just remember that.
No. Hey, where's your phone there, Hazard?
I'm without it.
What? So you're actually going to participate in the show today, huh?
I think I left it at the Metro car.
Oh,
geez.
Better
call that guy back.
Yeah. He's probably looking at all your numbers right now.
Oh, I know.
All right. Well, I see our guest here is John Kopp. We're going to get to him. Let's open the show and have some fun, shall we?
Let's do it.
Okay. The views and comments expressed on the following program do not reflect those of the Avondale or Bloomfield Hills school districts, the respective school boards, superintendents, managers, teachers, or staff, or the staff of WBFH, its management, or staff either. In fact, the only person responsible for the content of the following program is
Hazard.
If you happen to be offended by what we say and are forced to flee to your locally designated safe place, well, we humbly apologize beforehand. You know that. We mean no harm, and certainly we don't have any agenda. We're just exercising our privilege to take the transmitter out for a short drive this evening. Once we're done, we'll return the keys to the transmitter shack and then duck out that back door. So please, don't call the cops. We can't afford bail. Instead, just relax and enjoy our little old dog and pony show.
It's time to dust off the Atwater Kent and have another go at it. Bloomfield Community Radio presents Motor City Static, the only live and local thing happening this side of the railroad tracks. Turn off that TV. Put down that cell phone. Throw away that trashy novel.
It was the pictures anyway.
We've got a better way to waste your quality time. And all you need to do is pay attention. From the studios somewhere near the Grand Trunk Western, Motor City Static is on the air.
Emanating from the luxurious yet not overly ostentatious confines of a studio near the Grand Trunk Western, welcome to the first April show of Motor City Static. I'm Ron, he's Chuck, he's Hazard.
Yep.
And we're going to entertain you tonight here on the Biff Radio Network, 88.1 FM WBFH Bloomfield Hills and 89.5 WAHS Auburn Hills.
The Blowtorch.
Our website is MotorCityStatic.com, MotorCityStatic.com. If there's anything you want to send our way, WBFH@gmail.com. Or is it MotorCityStatic@gmail.com? I can't remember.
It's MotorCityStatic@gmail.com.
Yeah, there you go. MotorCityStatic@gmail.com. And we will promptly answer your inquiries on the air.
Yes.
Whoa.
What's going on?
Ron's just admiring my Facebook, or Hazard just admiring my Facebook page.
What was the whoa, though?
It was a photo of a...
There's a young lady feeding her child.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Say no more. Well, it's been quite a while, but I'd like to welcome back our guest, John Kopp. John Kopp is a friend of ours.
He's a troublemaker is what he is.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Hey, he knows you well. You better be careful.
Yeah.
First thing he says when I see him out in the street is, "Where's Jeff?" I'm like, "Ah, he's usually running a little bit, you know, later than the rest of us." He said, "Oh, looking for women on his phone, is he?"
I tell you, you got a reputation there, Hazard.
What can I tell you?
Anyway, the reason that we have John here is not only is he a good friend of ours, but he also is representing the Epilepsy Foundation of Michigan. And his team, Team Jitterbug, is once again participating in the Summer Stroll for Epilepsy. And you've got 6 different dates here, and you were telling me that you're going to participate in every one of them, right?
Correct. I'm doing all 6 walks.
First of all, how are you?
I'm doing great.
You look great.
Thank you very much. I'm doing pretty well this year. I'm pretty excited about doing all 6 walks this year.
That's going to take a lot out of you, though.
Yes, it is.
I can imagine that. But
were they all like 5K or something like that?
No, not exactly. I couldn't do all of them, but they were all 5K walks. No.
Oh, okay.
It says here 1 in 26 people will be diagnosed with epilepsy in their lifetime.
Yes.
And the flyer says, "Are you a 1 in 26? Do you love a 1 in 26 person? So show your support of everyone touched by epilepsy by participating in the Epilepsy Foundation of Michigan Summer Stroll for Epilepsy, an inspirational morning walk that raises vital funds and increases epilepsy awareness throughout the community." So, I know what epilepsy is, and we talked about it last year, but for some of our new listeners here, John, why don't you fill us in on epilepsy, what it is, what's the prognosis, and how does it affect your life?
Okay, well, epilepsy is a brain condition.
Right.
Okay. It affects, it can, it, it's It basically what it is, it's hard to explain, really.
I kind of figured that out so far.
Yeah,
Something that affects your motor skills and whatnot?
Not really motor skills. You know, it affects different people different ways.
Okay.
You know?
So it can is it a cognitive thing with thinking?
Yeah.
As Hazard says.
Yeah, you know some people have different types of seizures. You
right.
know, like a lot. You know, the most common one is grand mal.
Okay.
You know, people will fall down on the floor and shake.
Okay.
You know, others will stare off into space. You know, and. You know, that's what I would do.
Right.
Thankfully, mine are controlled under medication. I haven't had a seizure, knock on wood, 15 years now.
Oh, good for you.
You know.
Good for you.
So I'm doing pretty well, very well, actually.
Okay.
But others have been... You know,
less fortunate, and they're affected greatly,
right? You know,
now you can function rather normally throughout the day, right?
Correct.
Okay, as long as you're on your medication.
Well, as long as I'm on medication, yes.
Okay.
But there's others that obviously cannot. There's a child that I know of that lives out in Madison Heights. He's now about 12 years old. I've known him probably for about 3 years now. I see him walk the Detroit Zoo walk.
Mm-hmm.
He has 5 or 6 seizures a day.
A day.
A day, yes. You know.
And that's while he's on the medication?
Yes, that's while he's on the medication.
Wow.
You know, I don't know how his mother
can deal with
can
it.
Can deal
yeah,
with
that's,
that.
That's heartbreaking.
You know, it's really tough to
yeah.
you know, I can't imagine how and yet he still goes to school
mm-hmm.
and everything, but you know, he still functions on a daily basis, but mm-hmm. still he has these seizures, you know, it's
right.
really difficult.
And this is all genetic?
It's not genetic at all.
It's environmental? Or you don't know, they're still trying to figure it
exactly.
out.
Exactly. That's why they need
the research.
The research studies and things like that to you know, that's why we need to raise awareness and money for the research to figure out what's going on with all this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's why we're trying to raise money for the
foundation
for the.
Okay.
You know.
So last year, it was this time last year, wasn't it, in April?
Correct.
That we went to, where was that place?
Crazy Gringos.
And we had a nice dinner there, and the proceeds.
We did.
Yes, yep. We did. And we had the proceeds went to the Epilepsy Foundation. What's the date for the next one?
This coming Saturday.
This Saturday?
This yep. Saturday.
Okay.
Yes, we're having another fundraiser from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m.
It's still at the Crazy Gringo there,
Hazard?
It's still
at the Crazy Gringos.
Why don't you give them that information?
It's at the...
Hazard?
Well, it's at 34802 Gratiot Avenue. That's in Clinton Township.
Okay.
And it's just between Quinn and 15 Mile Road. Quinn is like 14 and a half mile, and Quinn is 15 Mile Road on the east side of Gratiot. And that's on April 14th. That's next Saturday from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And... 20% of your total bill is going to get kicked over to them.
Okay.
So,
and then if you feel so generous, you can cut a check and
oh yeah,
John will be happy to pick that up from you. Now what?
You can buy raffle tickets too. Yep. Great prizes.
Yep. I've got a raffle. I've got a couple different. I got three different raffle prizes. I've got a big Tormina's pizza box.
Okay.
Tormina's donated their big 24-inch pizza box.
Just a box, no pizza inside.
No, they're... No,
what no, you get no, is an empty no.
yeah.
pizza box.
No, they've donated the pizza. Uh-huh. You can go pick it up with one topping. But inside it, I've went around all over mm-hmm. several different cities. They've a bunch of local businesses have donated gift cards. I filled the entire thing up, over $900 worth of gift cards and gift certificates.
Wow.
Wow. I think okay. I want some tickets for that.
Okay.
Okay. Now, right. You are Team Jitterbug, right? Do you have partners or a team?
I've got anybody can join Team Jitterbug.
Well, how many members are there now?
As of right now, I've only got me and a couple friends.
Okay. The point I wanted to make here is just... On your strength alone, walking around, you've gotten all of these prizes and you've organized this fundraiser, right?
Correct.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. You're really dedicated to this cause. I
yes,
like that.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
You're really aggressive, okay. too. I like that.
Okay.
Jitterbug.
Yeah. Now, explain to the people why it's called Team Jitterbug, because this is... It's humorous.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Some people, now we live in a society where, you know, if you say hello to somebody, they get offended. So you got to be careful.
Right.
And when I said Team Jitterbug, I don't get this. I don't understand why it's called Team Jitterbug. But then last year we were on the show and you explained why it's called Jitterbug. So,
well, like I told you last year, and you know, when you have a seizure. The most common type of seizure is when you fall on the floor. What do? You jitter. You shake on the floor.
Yeah.
So you jitter. So jitterbug. You know, Team Jitterbug. You know,
it's
so
like putting the best face on an affliction.
So therefore, yeah.
you've got
you know,
a sense of humor for that.
You know, so that's why I call it Team Jitterbug.
Wow.
So.
That's really cute.
That's his other thing he's got going on too.
Yeah. That's June 5th.
What's that?
I'm doing another fundraiser Tuesday on June 5th. It's called Quartermania. That's still down the road. That's another fundraiser I always do as well.
Okay. So if someone's listening right now, what website can we direct them to find out more information about this fundraiser next Saturday and then the June 5th event? Do you have a...
You can...
Because I've got the Epilepsy Foundation,
right.
michigan.org/stroll, but that's for that stroll.
Right, that's for the walks.
What about Team Jitterbug? Do you have a specific...
You can like me on Facebook at Team Jitterbug for F-O-R Epilepsy.
Okay.
And then you can get all that information there.
I'm going to do that right now.
Okay.
All right, look that Facebook page up.
Team Jitterbug for F-O-R Epilepsy.
right, give me a minute.
F-O-R?
Yes.
F-O-R.
It's all...
Okay, I wrote that down, so okay. We'll... That's on the Facebook.
Okay.
And then if you want more information about the Epilepsy Foundation of Michigan, you can go to epilepsymichigan.org, and they'll have some information there. Now, this particular stroll, the summer stroll for epilepsy, you would put /stroll.
Right, and then you got to find me to locate Team Jitterbug. You got to locate Team Jitterbug, and then you got to click on one of the... walks. Team Jitterbug is doing all 6 walks.
Yeah.
Like we mentioned, then just click on any of the walks and then search Team Jitterbug and you'll find us at any one of the walks.
Okay, and there's also a toll-free phone number for that.
Where are the walks at, Ron?
Well, hang on here, buddy. Okay. Hang on.
Give us some info.
There's a toll-free number, 800-377-6226. That's 800-377-6226. The Epilepsy Foundation of Michigan. Now, to answer your question, Jeffrey Lee, we've got 6 of these. The first one is at Clinch Park in Traverse City, April 28th. Now, these are Saturdays?
Yes, they're all Saturdays.
Okay, now you were mentioning before we went on the air, you're looking for people to come join you?
Yes, so far I am the only stroller at Traverse City.
Okay.
For Team Jitterbug.
All right.
I would love some support. Mm-hmm. If you can come join me at Traverse City, that would be awesome.
That would be nice. And then
I have my own team T-shirts. Mm-hmm. If you join me, I'll give you a team T-shirt.
How generous is that?
Is the team Winnebago going to be up there?
What are we sleeping at the curb or what? Then you've got the Dow Diamond in Midland on June 2nd, the Celery Flats at Kalamazoo June 9th, the Detroit Zoo will be June 23rd, Potter Park in Lansing is July 14th, and then the Meyer Gardens and Sculptor Park in Grand Rapids is July 28th.
That's so, like Team Jitterbug on tour.
Yeah.
Because that's what the...
Who's the opening act, Chuck?
That would be you, Hazard. That would be you. Anyway, John Kopp is going to be with us here tonight here on the program. We're going to be talking a little bit more about epilepsy and how it affects people in the day-to-day life. And we've got music. We've got our features. We've got...
Yes, we do.
This Day in Rock History.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got Big Words with Ron.
Yes, we do.
Did you look at the words yet?
I have looked at the first one and I slapped them.
Well, then so easy.
Slapped our producer.
Big softballs.
Yeah, I don't even know what happened to him.
That's a Nerf softball.
And then I spent the majority of this week in a rabbit hole.
What?
Yeah.
Chasing Peter Cottontail?
No, chasing Johnny Carson and the Tonight Show. I stumbled across a website that I like. It's called CarsonPodcast.com, and it's everything and anything you ever wanted to know about Johnny Carson and the Tonight Show. And you know I'm a history buff, right?
Yeah.
And I love the history of broadcasting, and mm-hmm. I find all that stuff fascinating. And the podcast is Mark Malkoff, young man out of New York City, who goes around and interviews anybody and anyone remotely associated with the production of The Tonight Show.
Oh, geez, that's right up your alley.
He's got people like Mel Brooks he's interviewed, Carl Reiner, some of the comedians that appeared on the show, Rich Little.
I was just thinking, I don't know what made me think about some of those old comedians.
Well, that's what I was thinking about, too, as I'm waiting for the spring vacation here to come to an end. I said, you know what, I got to do something productive. And I found the website, and I started listening to these podcasts, and it's just fascinating how that part of the broadcast history affected everything that came after it. Because Johnny Carson, for the longest time, was the only game in town. Mm. And anybody and anything that went up against him failed miserably. Yep. You know, Dick Cavett Show, the Joan Rivers Show, some of the other shows. It wasn't until after he retired that CBS got into the game with David Letterman and all that stuff. Yep. So I just found that interesting. So the reason I brought this up is, hazard a guess, the subject will be broadcast history.
Uh-oh.
So, you know, that's something.
Steve Dahl.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, that's question number 3.
WLPS out of Chicago.
LUP.
All right.
K-Rock.
Yeah.
The Loop.
By the way, The Loop may be coming back.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I mean, it means nothing to you guys because you don't follow this, but 101.1 in Chicago, WKQX is bought by Cumulus, and they're going to probably flip it, flip 94.7 to The Loop, and I don't know, so just speculation at this point. Anyway, the subject for Hazard a Guess will be broadcast history. Enough yammering, Uncle Ron, how about some music?
Sure, I was doing some research late last night, actually, for this Day in Music Report a little bit later on, and I've been singing this darn song ever since.
Uh-oh, you've got an earworm.
I do. This is the Supremes with Where Did Our Love Go on Motor City Static.
John who?
John Hop.
Cop.
Cop. Cop, sorry.
Johnny Jump Up.
Johnny Jump Up.
John Cop. Cop.
Now the second P is silent, right?
Right.
Okay, sorry. See? I'm trying to get into the swing of things. We took last Sunday off.
I know you had. What'd you have for dinner last week, by the way?
Prime roast.
Prime roast?
Yeah, prime roast.
Is that like prime rib?
Something like that.
Hey, just prime FYI rib. For you?
Yeah.
The second F in Jeff is silent, too.
Okay. All right.
It's pronounced Jeff.
Jeff.
Unless they call you Jeffrey.
Oh. Could do that.
He did specify Jeff, though, so I guess we got to give him credit.
Jeff.
We had ham.
Yes. Ooh,
up
nice.
At the palatial surroundings at my sister's place. Ham, beans.
Way out there in the country.
Yep, ham, beans.
Beans. Mm.
No coleslaw. Potato salad, macaroni and cheese. Cake, birthday cake for my brother-in-law's birthday.
Happy birthday.
And Easter Bunny came to see Uncle Chuck.
Well, I had a beef burrito.
You're doing good, Hazard. But you were Jesus the week before, so.
JC, I was the big man.
Police are investigating reports of zombie-like raccoons in Northeast Ohio.
I saw that.
WKBN-TV reports that Youngstown police have received more than a dozen calls in the past 3 weeks about raccoons acting strangely in the daytime. Photographer Robert Cogashall said he was playing with his dogs outside his home last week when one such raccoon approached them. Gentleman says the animal would stand on its hind legs, show its teeth, and fall over backwards.
Like a fainting goat.
Yeah. The raccoon.
What is it, The Walking Dead or something? Is that what that's from?
The raccoon and 14 others. What does it say? The raccoons? Oh, there were 14 other raccoons.
Really?
So there were 15 total. All of them were euthanized. The State Department of Natural Resources says the animals were likely suffering from distemper, not rabies. The viral disease causes coughing, tremors, and seizures. Kind of like me when I'm asking a woman out on a date. You know, mm-hmm. You just...
distemper.
Coughing, tremors, and seizures.
It sounds like they didn't get their order at Starbucks.
Yeah,
like.
And this leads the raccoons to lose their fear of humans. Authorities are asking residents to report raccoons behaving unusually to the police department. So that's public service.
Mm-hmm. I did see one dancing.
A dancing raccoon?
Yeah.
Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network. Our guest, John Kopp, is here. He's going to be with us for the next 90 minutes. Hard to believe this first half hour has come to an end already.
Since the second P is silent.
Yeah, second P is silent.
You might need his help on Big Words of Thrawn after looking at them. I think you're going to go 2 for 4.
Two for four.
Oh, my. Oh, my. I've got some news on our dear friend, Mark Benka.
Yeah, what's that?
He had a liver transplant.
A liver transplant?
He had a liver transplant.
Whoa, that's serious.
And he's at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, and apparently he's doing okay.
All right.
I contacted his brother, Mickey. Mm-hmm. And there's no, he's in recovery. Obviously, he's in his own room there in the ICU.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
And I'm trying to get some information on him. And obviously, the next couple days are kind of touch and go. So I'm just kind of sitting tight. And we wish him and his family very well.
Yeah, very, very well.
He's a dear, dear friend. He's mm-hmm. been just a wonderful asset to my life. And, you know.
Great kids. You got that son, Nico?
Yeah, Nico.
We love Nico.
And daughter, Tatiana. So our thoughts are with him and his family.
Absolutely.
And
continued
success with that surgery.
Official right. support for Motor City Static.
That's right. Hopefully we'll have him on the air here maybe in a month or two, and he can tell us exactly what went wrong.
Real quick, did you see Warrior Racing getting all kinds of kudos or something with Chrysler.
Yeah, congratulations to them.
So we wish those people luck.
Yep. This is the best broadcast you'll hear all weekend. Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network on two great stations, working on a couple more. But we're heard on WBFH Bloomfield Hills and WAHS Auburn Hills. And we appreciate your spending your Sunday nights with us. We're heading into spring here. It's going to show up any week now, I heard. right after we have some more snow,
you know,
this week.
Just be patient. It's, right. Why is everybody getting all worked up?
We'll be back after these messages. Motor City Static, Ron Chuck Hazard here on the Biff Radio Network. And as I mentioned, spring should be here any day now.
Well, this is what one of those things that angers me about people.
What?
Is you cannot control the weather.
Well,
so
wait a
don't
minute.
Get
no.
upset about it.
What? Are you telling me this?
Yes. Don't worry about it. The real start of spring is Mother's Day. It's not Easter.
Okay.
Sometimes we get a little bit lucky. And we get some nice weather beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the other day, this is funny. One of my coworkers came up to me and he goes, it was really cold outside. Who controls this weather? I said, God, talk to him about it. It's true, right?
Yeah.
Listen to Chuck referencing the big man.
Although some of these environmentalists think that they can control the weather.
No. It's all the big guy.
I think it's...
I just say that Mother Nature and Father Time are just in an argument.
Yeah, that guy could.
That's
very
good.
Well,
I like that. I'm going to use that. Can I use that?
Sure.
In public? Mother Nature and Father Time are having an argument. And right now, Mother Nature is winning.
Exactly.
Yeah.
As most arguments between mother and father, mother always wins.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. What else did I want to tell you?
What's going on with Cousin Timmy? Anything happened?
I haven't heard from Cousin Tim in a while.
Anything with the clan?
Nothing in the family.
Gerald?
Nothing with Jerry. Pretty much scandal-free this month, so we're kind of, you know, knocking for Micah here.
That's well, we're wishing luck to my son, who starts his new adventure.
Yeah, tell us.
He is going to school for a couple weeks.
And he's
going
to specialize in hanging off the back ends of boxcars.
Yeah, something like that. And he's going to be working for a firm called the Grand Elk.
Yeah, the
Kalamazoo.
Watco is the parent corporation, but the Grand Elk is a railroad that runs from Elkhart, Indiana, all the way up to Grand Rapids. And he's going to be a conductor.
So he's going to be seeing some western part of the states and whatnot here.
All aboard!
That's good. Did he answer an ad in the paper or what?
I don't know how he found this one.
He's been in a number... You know, I was thinking about this when you told me. He was a mascot for the Tigers.
Yep.
He's going to quit that, right?
Obviously. Yeah, he did.
Oh, he quit that. Okay. Then he worked for a lawyer.
Yep.
Then he was working in the auto show.
Yep.
Don't forget about those movie roles.
He was an extra in the movies.
Yep.
He's gone through so many careers. How old is he?
25. The latest thing was he was working with somebody in the Democratic Party.
Well, luckily he gave that up, right?
Yeah.
He came to his senses,
came
huh?
to his senses. Well,
we don't know about that, but yeah. Well, good for him, and maybe he'll give us some railroad stories.
Yep.
We'll appreciate that.
And your daughter got a new job too, right?
Yep. She's the marketing person for some sort of boutique realty place.
Nice.
From what I understand.
So do they sell boutiques?
It's a boutique that it's a specialty, but it starts. She starts on her new gig tomorrow.
In what city?
St. Chesterfield.
Oh.
So hopefully she's...
up the street from my mansion.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Do we want to do the history thing, or do we want to play a song?
Well, we could do the history thing and then play a song.
Well, let's do that. Anyone know what time it is?
Yeah. It's time for This Day in Rock History with Chuck Riffenberg. What happened, Uncle Chuck?
Well, funny you should ask.
Wait a minute. What's that young lady's name, Chuck? Do you remember?
I don't.
Imani Wright.
Imani Wright. Thank you, Imani. My niece, Imani. If I'm her uncle, she must be my niece,
Imani.
Right?
Yeah.
In 1964, the Supremes record Where Did Our Love Go, which we just heard at Motown Studios in Detroit. The song would become their first U.S. number one single. Originally founded as the Primettes in Detroit, Michigan in 1959, the Supremes were the most commercially successful of Motown's acts and are to date America's most successful vocal group with 12 number one singles on the Billboard Hot 100.
Yeah, have you ever gone down to the Motown Museum?
Oh, yeah. It's magical down there.
You need to go to the Motown Museum, John.
I'd like to.
Because you actually go into the room where they recorded that song we played last half hour. It's spooky.
It is. You can actually feel
the vibes.
The vibes in that joint. Yeah. It's crazy. On this date in 1967, John Lennon took his Rolls Royce to coach builders J.P. Fallon Limited in Surrey to inquire if they could paint his car in psychedelic colors. This was based on an idea by Marijke Koger, the fool who was a member of the Dutch team of gypsy artists. J.P. Fallon commissioned Steve Weaver's pattern of scroll and flowers for the Phantom 5. The cost for having the work done came in at £2,000. That was in 1967. A lot of money.
Yeah.
A custom interior-exterior sound system was also installed, as well as a Sony television, telephone, and a portable refrigerator.
Wow.
On this date in 1975, Aerosmith released their third studio album, Toys in the Attic. The album is their most commercially successful in the U.S. with 8 million copies sold and features the hit Walk This Way, which peaked at number 10 on the Billboard Hot 100 in early 1977. When re-released and was one of the songs that helped break Aerosmith into mainstream in the 70s. On this date in 1977, where'd it go? The Clash. Honest, it was The Clash. It seems to have disappeared from this feed, but they released their album simply titled The Clash.
You saw them at Lily's, right?
No, I saw them at the Fox.
Oh, okay.
And I saw them at the Pontiac Silverdome.
But they played Lily's, didn't they?
Yep, that was their first gig.
Wow.
Drank them out of Yeznufka.
Okay, yeah?
Yeah, they drank all the Polish brandy when they were there. On this date in 1994, electrician Gary Smith, who was working at Kurt Cobain's house in Seattle, discovered Cobain's body lying on the floor in the greenhouse. Local radio station KXRX broke the news at 9:40 a.m. that the Nirvana singer and guitarist was dead. A shotgun was found next to Cobain's body. A suicide note was found that said, "I haven't felt the excitement of listening to as well as creating music along with really writing for many years now." A high concentration of heroin and traces of Valium were also found in Cobain's body. Oh. On this date in 1998, Rolling Stones guitarist Ronnie Wood was rescued along with 11 other passengers in the nick of time from a boat when the engine caught fire. The boat was exploring the islands near Angra dos Reis, south of Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, when one of the boat's engines caught fire. Passengers were rescued by nearby journalists just before the boat exploded. And finally, it was reported that organizers for the 2012 ceremony had recently asked the manager of The Who if legendary drummer Keith Moon would be able to perform at the forthcoming London Olympics Games in 2012. They asked if Keith Moon could perform. Who manager Bill Kerbishley told the Times how he responded to the request. "I emailed them back saying Keith now resides in Golders Green Crematorium, having lived up to The Who's anthemic line, 'I hope I die before I get old,' he said. If they have a round table, some glasses and candles, we might be able to contact him."
Wow. So, what an idiot.
So it was a group of idiots.
Pardon me. Can you get Mr. Moon to participate in the 2012 Olympics, please?
Yeah. So let's take a listen to something from a CD called Slide On This by Ronnie Wood. This is Testify on Motor City Static.
And our good friend John Cobb, who stopped by to tell us about his upcoming fundraiser.
We are making plans to be there. Yeah. Well, you know what my stipulation is? I already told you off mic. What's that? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm easy. I just want some tacos.
Okay.
And an ice cold adult beverage.
There you go. You work hard for it.
I do. And
which one?
What?
What, this thing or?
Yeah, where else? Okay. Hazard? We're talking about
I didn't know if you were going to the walk.
This show is all about John Kopp.
I know, but yeah, we're going to be there, but I didn't know if you were going to the walk.
Yeah, so too. I know you guys are probably going to show up right at 6 because that's how you are.
No, I'm not. I'm going to be fashionably late because I want to give John
time
to find a lady friend for me so that I don't have to eat dinner alone.
It's 7 o'clock ish.
What?
Why are you going to make him work so hard? He's got enough. He is. He has got enough to do on that day.
By the way, thanks for bringing that up. He is the hardest working fundraiser I have ever witnessed. Last year when we were at the restaurant, he was working that room. Mm-hmm. He was up and back, up and back. How many people were there? Probably about 40?
About that, yeah.
And the building itself is it's cozy, as they say.
He barely had time to acknowledge your presence. That's how busy he was.
I know.
But he did come over and say hi.
Yeah. And
spend some time with us and then ask us if we wanted to buy some raffle tickets.
Yeah.
Because he's got great prizes. He was just telling us off mic that he's got a framed bunch of lottery tickets, right?
16x20 picture frame.
Full of scratch-off lottery tickets.
All right.
That'd be a good prize.
Well, you know, sure beats buying them by yourself.
He's got the pizza box full of gift cards.
Yeah. And then he's got the Jeffrey Lee Hazard autograph photograph.
Well, that ain't going to get no money.
Well, we'll be there. We'll be
with
there.
Bells on.
Yeah. Repeat the location.
You got that, Hazard?
Yeah, it's from 6 to 9 at Crazy Gringo Mexican Cantina. That's on Gratiot. Just south of 15 Mile. Actually, it's between Quinn Road and 15 Mile on the east side of Gratiot, 34802 Gratiot. We'll be there from, it's going on from 6 to 9, but we're going to be there like 7-ish, I think.
Right next to the dive shop, right?
Yep.
Yeah, Bruno's dive shop.
But
Epilepsy Foundation of Michigan's also going to have their 2018 Summer Stroll for Epilepsy. John Kopp here is telling us that he's welcoming team members. You can contact him. You're going to be in Traverse City, Midland, Kalamazoo, Detroit, Lansing, and Grand Rapids. That's 6 of them. Your summer's going to be busy.
Yeah, it is.
It's all for a good cause. EpilepsyMichigan.org/stroll.
That's so
EpilepsyMichigan.org/stroll.
Hazard?
Yeah.
I'm going to make you a deal.
What's that?
If you leave your phone in the car when we go to the cantina to celebrate John's fundraiser, I'll kick in an extra $5 to Team Jitterbug if you can leave your phone in the car for the duration of time we are there.
Oh, that's Ooh. You're asking a lot.
And Ron will match it.
I will.
Oh, that's a tempting offer.
I will.
Yeah.
Provided that, you know, the other stipulation.
No other stipulations. Tacos and frosty adult beverages. That's all we need. Hazard, you got to think about that.
And wherever we show up, it's always a party.
And here's the deal, Hazard. Here's another deal. Let's put a little stinger on that, okay?
Okay.
If you don't, you got to kick in 20. So Ron and I will put in $5 each. If you can leave your phone in the car. Well, you don't have to leave it in the car. Just don't pull it out. You can bring it in because I don't want to get stolen or something.
No, it's not going to. Just put it under the floor mat.
Or whatever. Okay, and Ron and I will pay $5 each if you can not go on your phone the entire time we're there.
He's giving me the look.
But if you cannot do that, you got to give John Kopp $20.
I'll give him 10.
For Team No.
Imagine you boys.
No.
We got to make it worth your while.
Okay, this game.
All right. Well, we got witnesses all over the world.
We've got thousands of people tuning in listening to us.
Uh-oh. You better remind me about that.
Oh, I will. Don't worry.
He's going to be hoping you take your phone out.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. What am I telling you? No.
Hazard's going to walk into the building, and John's going to say, hey, go get your phone. He's like, okay.
What up?
By the way, this chocolate cake, it's more like a brownie, isn't it? Is it a brownie or a cake?
It's a pound cake.
It's a 2-pound cake, man. That thing is dense.
It is.
Sweet. What's the name of the company?
I don't know. It was some sort of box thing you showed up with.
I went to another thing, and I won a raffle prize.
Oh, I thought you made it.
No, I did.
Tastefully Simple. That's what it is.
Wait, you made it?
I made it.
Oh, it's a box mix?
It's a box mix that he had.
Okay. I went to another function a while back, and I won a gift basket of tastefully simple stuff, one of which was this chocolate pound cake. And I'd asked Hazard to make it because he is a good baker and I am not.
I was going to have it originally for Mr. Alan Maestri, but due to time constraints, we couldn't pull it off, so we put it up for Johnny Cop. But speaking of fundraisers and something I'm upset about.
What?
At a recent fundraiser, I bought an evening at Hazel Park.
And it's closed.
Yeah. This was supposed to include dining and a tour of the stables and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a $40 deal or something
Maybe you could take a tour of the demolition now.
Yeah. Wow. Is that crazy? That was like...
Well, if you think about it, back in the 60s and 70s, horse racing was all the rage. When I visit my uncles in Hamtramck, they'd go out and bet on the ponies. And now, horse racing has gone away of boxing and, baseball is still here. It will always be here, but the audience for NFL is down. Soccer is supplanting all these other sports.
Yeah, well, I kind of predicted this was going to happen with all the little kids that start out playing soccer, mm-hmm. When they're three.
Yeah, 30 years ago.
Right, and now it's finally coming to fruition.
Well, the thing is, as a parent, you want your kids to participate, but you don't want them to gain concussions through football.
Right, and the big real estate guy in town is building a new soccer stadium, isn't he?
On the old jail site.
Yeah. Actually, didn't they tell him they wanted to play at Ford Field or something?
I don't know.
Or something.
But he's getting a stadium, and he's building another skyscraper in the area. So
just so we need another stadium in Detroit.
Yeah, and then have the taxpayers foot the bill. That's what we need.
Mm-hmm.
And what they really need to do is start putting some railroad cars on, passenger cars on the railroad, so that I can go down there without having to park.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's just me. Just me. Managers of a Sonic fast food eatery in Mississippi put up a sign in the drive-thru with a request for customers. Don't smoke marijuana while ordering. Customers at the Sonic drive-thru in Gulfport snapped photos that went viral online after the restaurant posted a sign about its marijuana policy. The sign reads, "Attention, if you are smoking weed in the drive-thru, you will not be served. Please show some common courtesy and smoke and air out before pulling up for your order."
Can I get two cheeseburgers, order of fries, chocolate?
Dude, that happened to me.
Shake.
Like this week.
What, you were smoking weed at the drive-thru?
No, I wasn't me.
Were you?
I was at a local establishment.
Yeah.
And the guy rolled down his window and whoa.
Yeah, that's a
something.
A bit much.
I was the car right behind him and it was like, that's not a dead raccoon.
Store manager,
what it smells like.
Store manager Yasmin Freeman said the sign was posted in March after a customer in the drive-thru blew marijuana smoke in the face of an employee who is a minor. Freeman said the sign appears to have been effective as well as serving as a conversation topic for amused patron. She told the Sun-Herald newspaper, quote, "There have also been a lot of pictures taken." And it just boils down to common courtesy.
Mm-hmm.
Just wait till you park.
Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do it. And if you are doing it, be courteous to
others. You should have already done that about a half hour to 40 minutes before you show up at the Sonic.
And you shouldn't be driving anyway under the influence.
No.
That's one thing I don't have to worry about at my job.
You don't have to worry about that?
Well, he's a drug tester.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. I forgot.
But speaking of the Chronic,
Jeffy
got asked to be in a video.
Uh-oh.
Made by one of my local coworkers who's decided to branch off into a rap career.
Oh, boy.
And the first video, there's nothing but blunts and gangsters
do you
and
really
guns
want to be in, do you want to really be
money
involved with that?
Young white boy Rick here is...
Well, I was going to ask you, after your first his role is Jesus.
Yeah, and then he
and
goes...
now maybe you should show up in this rap video as Jesus. And well, save them.
Well, I said instead of flashing all kinds of cash. Well, I'm going to flash, but it's all going to be singles.
Jesus said you must go out among the sinners, in order to convert them. All right, music time here at Motor City Static. We got
sure,
anything?
Sure, we sure do. Got one all queued up here. Ron talked about John Lennon earlier, and getting his car painted in 1967, the same year that the Beatles' Magical Mystery Tour came out. This is Fool on the Hill. on Motor City Stack.
Hard to believe it, but the show is half over.
Good Lord.
Already? Where has the time flown? Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network, the best radio broadcast you'll hear all weekend. If you missed tonight's broadcast, you can catch us on the podcast tomorrow morning, MotorCityStatic.com, MotorCityStatic.com. Very special guest this evening, good friend of ours, John Kopp. Mm-hmm. K-O-P-P, the second P is silent. And it's time, once again, for our fundraiser, the Epilepsy Foundation of Michigan. John is here to tell us about the Summer Stroll for Epilepsy. And he's got a fundraiser next Saturday.
Where is it, Hazard? That was your cue.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm sitting there.
I'm chilling like a villain. You know what I'm saying?
This is part of our public service.
We're going to be at the Crazy Gringo. Motor City Static will make an official appearance for you. We'll be there about 7 o'clock. But the fundraiser goes from 6 to 9 at the Crazy Gringo Mexican Cantina on Gratiot. That's at 34802 Gratiot Avenue, just south of 15 Mile Road. On the east side of...
And Hazard will be signing autographs, I heard.
And he's going to leave his phone in the car.
Yeah, for a good cause.
Otherwise...
I'll be kicking in $20.
You'll be kicking in $20. But if you successfully leave your phone in the car, Ron and I will combined kick in
$10.
Because we're poor.
Yeah, we are.
But we're going to be there 7 o'clock-ish. We've got an official appearance.
Yeah,
I think it's on our Facebook page that we will be there,
mm-hmm.
and 20% of your total food bill is going to go over there to help Johnny and his little efforts.
Man, I'm going to be busy that day.
Yeah,
I'm going to be at the Motor City Bird Breeders Bird and Fish Expo earlier that day for the Motor City Aquarium Society, where we will be unveiling our new promotional banner, which I designed.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a retractable banner. Have you ever seen these things?
No.
They're like a banner that comes out like a movie screen.
Okay.
You know, like at the slot that you used to show the family movies on the mm-hmm. at the holidays?
Mm-hmm.
Pull out like that. One thing comes in a carrying case. I designed it myself online.
Congratulations.
And it's going to be at my doorstep one day this week.
Okay.
If God willing. So stop by and see us at the booth. Learn more about fish.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be all kinds of things there. There's some live programs going on. All kinds of fish and bird info.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm. Hazard, should I say where it is?
Yeah, it would be nice.
It's at the United Commercial Food Workers Hall, otherwise known as Madison Place in Madison Heights, Michigan. 13 Mile Road, just west of Jenner.
Okay.
Off of Montpelier.
Looking forward to that. John, Hazard says that you were looking forward to this appearance for a long time and that you're actually happy to hang out with us.
Yes, I am.
Pardon me, go ahead.
Yes, I am.
Oh, that's
much.
Good. You need to get some hobbies then. You really do.
He doesn't have a hobby. This is a 24, I don't know, how do you have time to work your day job doing all this fundraising stuff?
I just kind of, you know, somehow I just push it in.
Chuck, you ought to see this boy. He is a foodie too.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He's all over the place, you know, having lunch with a friend at, like, Buffalo Wild Wings or, you know, this place or that
place. You're a social butterfly in addition to being a jitterbug.
Right.
So, good for you. That's wonderful. Do you have anybody you want to say hi to? Anybody in the organization? Any friends, colleagues that you want to reach out to?
Sure. I'll say hi to my friends at the Epilepsy Foundation.
Good.
You know. So, Andrea, Brianna.
What do they do there?
They're the upper, they're high. Brianna is the co-founder of the Epilepsy Foundation.
Of Michigan?
Yeah.
So real quick now, is the foundation nationwide or this is just a local?
This is just the Michigan one.
Michigan branch, but there is a nationwide foundation?
Actually, the Epilepsy Foundation of America walk was Saturday. Was yesterday.
Okay.
They had the national walk in D.C. All
right.
Yesterday.
Cherry blossoms are out.
Yeah.
You know.
Saw some pictures.
Next year I'd like to do the national walk.
So when they say the local chapter is, what do they call it, a 503C?
501C form, yes.
501C3.
Okay.
So we, because we're a non-commercial station, we can endorse nonprofits like that. So. So. We wholeheartedly endorse
them. Oh, yeah. We wish them the best on their efforts.
EpilepsyMichigan.org. EpilepsyMichigan.org.
All right. Here's a legitimate quick question, too, Johnny. See if you know this one. You were talking about raising funds for research. Is there like a certain, is it like John Hopkins, like the leading, you know, or like Duke University that does?
Where does the money go? What's the leading medical research organization?
You go to the Mayo Clinic.
Where do you go for epilepsy?
Where do I go for epilepsy?
No, personally. All right, if I have someone in my family that has just been diagnosed with epilepsy, what do we do?
You would go to a neurologist.
Right.
Or call the Epilepsy Foundation of Michigan.
Okay.
And they would tell you where to go.
Okay.
Okay, I'm not.
Well, that's fine. Again, if you don't have the answers, fine.
We just thought maybe there was a certain like leading Beaumont, you know.
No, I'm not, you know.
Okay, that's good. That's perfectly fine.
Do you remember this game, John? All right. He's shaking his head with a smile.
Hey, who was the baker in the green room?
That's you.
Oh, okay.
Welcome to Metro Detroit's beloved quiz program that not only helps to build your vocabulary, but puts our beloved Uncle Ron in his place. It's time for Big Words with Ron on the Biff Radio Network. As you know, Uncle Ron tends to espouse his opinions with big $5 words that often leaves Chuck and Hazard Addle befuddled and perplexed. This time, the table is turned to see how Uncle Ron reacts. Can he bluff, guess, or reckon his way to the words we throw at him? You decide on Big Words with Ron. Now, from the luxurious yet not overly ostentatious confines of the MCS studio near the Grand Trunk Western, here's your host, Chuck Rivenberg.
All right, here's a big question. Does that Grand Trunk go by the Grand Elk?
Yeah, it crosses the Grand Elk.
Oh, it does? Okay.
Kazoo.
All right. I can tell Nathan to
look out
for you.
Yeah, there you go.
Now you can train jump and not get kicked off, Ron. I know Nate Hatton.
Shh.
Leave me alone. I know Nate Hatton.
Oh, you make me laugh.
All right, you ready, Ron?
You make me laugh. Last week I did 5 for 5, did I not?
No.
Oh, man.
I don't remember what was the
words.
We were
1 for 5 last week.
Oh, we had Trencher Man,
Stridulant.
That was bad.
Yeah, you got bangled.
Let's forget before last.
I'm still reeling from my the shaving thing you did on me.
What?
Remember when you did the questions about shaving?
Yeah,
I got slaughtered.
Yeah, you did.
Hazard, your picture's on here.
I should put you in. Make sure we put him in this place again.
That's up to you, producer. Let's look at your picture's on here. You should leave a comment.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, I know Ron Winnables.
Is that my Facebook page or your Facebook page?
My Facebook.
It's on his.
Oh, okay. All right, let's play this game.
All right, Ron, your first word, its earliest documented use was in 1596.
Ooh.
It was coined by the poet Edmund Spenser in his epic poem, The Fairy Queen.
Ooh.
It is...
It's a nerf toss at you.
Yeah, it's a nerf toss at you. It is an adjective... And your word, Ron, is blatant.
Blatant?
Blatant. Or blatant.
B-L-A-T-A-N-T.
That's the one.
That's obvious. Blatant. Thank you.
You don't even want the sentence?
No. That's how good I am, John. That's how good I am.
The boy's on fire.
So I told Hazard he could leave a comment. There's this dude, Jerry, who left a comment. He is an English teacher. He said he doesn't question the claim for the etymology of blatant, but he does wonder if this word and others from early modern English period, including some of Shakespeare, were not in common spoken usage but had never previously been written down. If so, ascertaining who actually coined a word would be impossible.
Okay.
So
that word blatant means obvious.
Yes.
So if you were to say... That's blatantly obvious, then that is obviously obvious.
That's redundant.
Yes.
And
bad syntax. What's the sentence?
Corruption takes many forms. In some countries, it is blatant. In others, it's barely visible.
Ah, that's good.
I keep mispronouncing that word. I want to say blatant instead of blatant.
Blatant.
Blatant. Your next word, Ron. Its earliest documented use was in 1871. You get a one shot at the meaning. It's an adjective. And this was also coined by a poet. This one by Lewis Carroll.
Oh, Alice in Wonderland. Looking Alice through the looking glass.
Yes. It was earliest documented in 1871. And your word, Ron, is frumious.
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 F-R-U-M-I-O-U-S.
Yes.
Whoa.
Frumious.
Frumious.
He's a speller, too. Mm-hmm.
Why try? Frumious. Would you be surprised if I told you I have never heard of this word before?
Not at all.
It is an interesting word. Frum. The I-O-U-S makes it an adjective.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go with the sentence.
Whoa. Listen, Riley, you're dissecting.
As the weeks passed.
I'm not just a pretty face there, Hazard. All right, as the weeks passed,
the frumious language that his supporters used all sounded more and more like the outcry of people sure that they would be cheated of their due.
The frumious language.
The frumious language.
Adjective.
Repeat that sentence again, please.
Oh, I'd love to, because I read that one well.
Yes, you did.
As the weeks passed, the frumious language that his supporters used all sounded more and more like the outcry of people sure that they would be cheated of their due.
Well, frumious means lies.
No.
Flowery, exaggerated.
Not even close.
Really?
Mm-mm. Let me give you a sentence I made up.
Well, would a politician, would a frumious language be used by a politician?
Oh, yeah.
So it could be. Oh, very much
very
so.
Good. Yeah.
So you're promising things that don't exactly come to pass.
No.
No.
Not at all?
Mm-mm.
It's not eloquent, flowery?
No.
Mm-mm.
Give me your sentence.
If Hazard leaves his phone in the car next week at John Kopp's fundraiser, John Kopp may become frumious.
Oh. So he would receive something.
No.
No.
Oh, man. John Kopp would be
frumious.
Frumious.
If Hazard left his phone.
Let me
in the
give
car.
Him a softball toss.
No! Let him sweat. Remember what he did to you with the shaving thing.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
He would
going down on this one. I don't care.
Well, it would obviously be beneficial for John. If Hazard left the... No?
It would be beneficial for John for Hazard to bring his phone in.
Okay, so he would lose out if he left the phone there. And if a politician were to give you a frumious description of something, it would be all... What do they say? All horse and no saddle or something? Or all saddle and no horse?
Something. But that's not close either.
No.
Frumious.
Yeah. You're not even anywhere.
Nowhere near.
You're heading to the palace and you're driving east-west. You're like somewhere in North Dakota or something. Yeah.
All right, I give up.
It means...
Whoa. You're going to give up?
Well, you're going to be frumious when I tell you what it means.
No, wait.
No!
Disappointed.
Shaving. Remember shaving.
I'd like to see him succeed, though.
Would I be disappointed?
He got the first one.
I would be disappointed.
Perhaps.
You're going to be.
That's the definition, right?
No.
No.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Frumious means very angry.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Now, why did I think?
I don't know. You were
overthinking it, though. You had that.
Frumious is like furious, and furious came to my mind first, John.
But you didn't use that.
No,
I head in that direction.
All right,
your next word, Ron, you have two chances at the definition. Both of them being an adjective.
Wait a minute. I'm frumious over the last word.
I was going to use the word D. Trump's language with the Chinese.
Oh, okay.
This week has been very frumious.
Angry.
The earliest documented use of this word, Ron, was in the early 1920s, one of your favorite periods in history.
And it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had Calvin Coolidge as president.
And
he was the Ronald Reagan of his times.
It was coined by the cartoonist Billy DeBeck, famed for his comic strip Barney Google and Snuffy Smith.
Ah.
Ooh, I wonder, is that where Google came from?
This word, Ron.
It actually came from Google.
Go ahead. Is hotsy-totsy.
Hotsy-totsy?
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that. And if you're hotsy-totsy, you're hot to trot.
No, it's being used wrong.
Give me your sentence.
You have to pursue her. Go after her. Let her know you think she's hotsy-totsy.
It's like the cat's meow.
Ask her out.
She's the cat's meow. She's desirable. She's got all that in a bag of chips. Thank you.
Yeah.
Definition number one is just right. Perfect. Definition number two is haughty or pretentious.
Oh, that's John Kerry, the pretentious John Kerry, the former senator.
Oh.
Okay. Mm.
All right, Ron, your final word today.
Well, that lady that you're going to set me up with at the restaurant had better be hotsy-totsy there, cop.
You and Hazard, you both got one-track minds, I'm telling you.
Hey, it's springtime when maybe a young man's fancy turns to
love. Maybe you should come to the bird show with me next week and get a bird.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that would attract the women to you.
Do you want me to go?
I got to go by. I mean, you don't want to be there as long as I'm going to be there. I got to be there all day.
Well, maybe I'll show up. Where's that at?
It's at the
Mad Heights
United Commercial Food Workers Hall. I can send you a flyer on the internet.
All right, send me an internet thing. Yeah. Maybe I'll show up.
Bring Hazard. No, don't bring
him. No, I have to work. No.
So. Oh, good. Okay, no, you can come, Hazard. You need a bird, too.
All right, I am...
Some kind of pet.
I do.
Two for three. You guys are petless. That's what's wrong with
I was over at my daughter's, and she's got that...
Bearded dragon.
Bearded dragon, and that thing was just laying in this hammock up in the...
chilling.
Yeah, just chilling. It was cool.
You should get it. It's lizard, then, if you don't want a bird. All right, this word, Ron, its earliest documented use was the year of my birth.
That would be 1975.
1962.
Oh.
And it was coined by Anthony Burgess in A Clockwork Orange.
Mm-hmm.
And this word, Ron, is droog. And it's a noun, by the way. Droog.
A droog?
No, not a droog, just droog.
Well,
but it's a noun.
I've heard this word before, and Malcolm McDowell was in the movie version of A Clockwork Orange, which was 71, I believe, 1971.
That was a freaked out movie.
I never saw it completely through because I just didn't get it.
It was
probably one of those ones you'd see in a film class.
Yeah. So a droog would refer to the character of Malcolm McDowell, who would be like strung out on drugs, kind of... No?
Mm-mm.
Not necessarily, yeah.
These are just useless, drifting through society?
Nope.
Violent?
Nope. Well, maybe.
Yeah, maybe violent.
Well, it's not a good thing to be a droog, is it?
Depends.
Yeah, depends on who.
Depends on your outlook on
life.
Yeah,
it depends on your outlook.
Well, if you're the droog, and it would be someone who creates havoc, right?
Could be, yeah.
Could be.
Well, I'm nowhere near the definition, am I?
No, you're not.
Why are you're, you humoring
you're in the parking lot of the palace, but you're not in.
Is there a counter person to a droog?
Yes.
So if you're
probably a, what?
If you're a military person, you would be, your opposite would be a civilian.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a droog, it would be like the Jets and the Sharks from the old West Side Story.
Yeah.
So you're on a roll.
So the droog, what would be the opposite of the droog?
You're standing at the ticket booth waiting to tell them you're on the guest list.
Yeah.
The droogs would be a good name for a band, actually. It's been taken already.
I think it has been taken. So a droog would be a gang member.
Whoa, Ron out of left field.
He was just toying with us.
Yeah, what up with that one?
He got three out of four, Ron.
He grooved it, Johnny. He grooved it, and he just parked that bad boy.
We have any more of that?
No.
That's it?
Three out of four.
Wow.
And that's how we play Big Words with Ron. I'm all hotsy-totsy.
He went opposite field, Johnny Cop. You see that? That's what he did. He did Miguel Cabrera kind of acting.
All right, reviewing our words for this week. Out of the gate, blatant. Well, that's obvious. Frumious, I whiffed on. It means very angry. But you know, frum, I think, means smoke or something. Burning, fruming. Frumious, F-R-U-M-I-O-U-S. So if you're going into the, what do they call that, the office tomorrow? Cube farm, that's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, oh, cube farm.
You go into the cube farm and someone makes you frumious. Smack them.
Oh.
Then we had hotsy-totsy, which means just right, or haughty. And if you're droog, that means you're a gang member.
Member of a gang. Yeah.
Member of a gang. I love it. 75% there, cop.
It was like he went 3 for 4, you know, like Miguel, you know?
Yep.
This with a calf muscle that's strained, cramped up.
Hey, I've been seeing your boy Javo's been hitting the park.
Yeah, he does his thing. He opening day.
And he's got his usual season tickets.
Yeah, he gets season tickets, and every once in a while, John, he invites me to go see the game because I have no friends.
Oh, it's not true.
No, it's true. I sit home alone.
He has no friends.
I curl up in a fetal position every night and I cry myself to sleep.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That is true.
No, it's true, John. Yeah.
That
true.
Needs to be a sounder, a drop, or a promo or something.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Here, a little dish of sympathy for you, Uncle Ron.
Hopefully it's served cold.
A dish of sympathy served cold.
The marquee sign outside of a Chick-fil-A restaurant in Florida is advertising more than chicken sandwiches. It is offering an employee as a prom date.
Really?
Whoa!
The sign outside the Chick-fil-A in Castleberry drew attention this week for its unusual message. Tanner needs a prom date. Details inside.
Oh, I like that.
The dateless Tanner in question, Tanner Waters, he's just 17. He's an employee at the eatery and a senior at Winter Springs High School. He told KMGTV, quote, I think it's funny. I mean, like, you don't usually see your name on something like that. He said involving his workplace in his quest for a prom date started when he jokingly asked his manager, Billy McLaren, to be his date. Huh? I mean, it's a joke. I don't know what that implies. McLaren said, I'm like, no, I'm not going to prom with you, but if you need some help, I'll put it on the reader board for you. Okay, so they're not like a couple. They're just joking around. Okay. Waters said he was excited by the idea. He goes on to say, I said, that would be awesome. That would help me out a lot. It takes all the work out of finding a date. McLaren printed out a picture of Waters to show to interested customers who inquire about a date while the student isn't working. Waters said he is hoping to find a date before prom, which is scheduled for the end of the month. He goes on to say, I'm a great person. I have great personality. You're going to have a great time with me. You get free dinner. Someone is buying us dinner. It's going to be a great night. The Florida store isn't the first Chick-fil-A to involve its sign in a quest for a prom date. Another Tanner Lee, who met his girlfriend Tatum Hoof, what a name that is, while he was working at the Atlanta area Chick-fil-A, had a sign that was changed by the manager to help him ask Hoof to the prom last year. Lee posted photos of the proposal to Twitter where they went viral. So he had a coworker or a lady friend he wanted to impress, so he had the manager change the sign. How cute is that?
Ron?
Yes?
I'm going to work at Chick-fil-A, I guess.
Yeah. There's only one location. It's in the...
Oakland University, right?
Oh, there's one at Oakland University, and there's one at Somerset Collection.
Oh, there is?
Yeah.
Ooh.
All right, I think you'd have better chances at the Somerset.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That's a little try-action.
Music time.
All right, I mentioned Aerosmith's Toys in the Attic album earlier.
I have that album.
I don't, unfortunately.
It's a great album.
But what I do have is a tribute to Aerosmith called Not the Same Old Song and Dance, which has the song Toys in the Attic on it, featuring Stephen Piercy on vocals, Tracy Guns on guitar, Phil Soussan on bass, and Ainsley Dunbar on drums.
Ooh, that's a lineup.
Yeah, it is. So here it is, Toys in the Attic from the CD called Not the Same Old Song and Dance, a tribute to Aerosmith on Motor City Static.
Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network. Time's flying. Last half hour.
When you're having fun.
Saddest part of the broadcast, which means I'll have to wait another week, John, before I can do this again.
Yeah, but fortunately, we'll all be in the same room again together in just 6 short days.
Good point.
When we go to...
The Crazy Gringo.
For the... well, here, Hazard, you've been reading it all day.
Oh, yes.
Keep going.
Let's talk
Maybe
about
you'll
this
get
one
it
more
right
time.
This time.
The Crazy Gringo Mexican Cantina. We're going to be there for a fundraiser for Team Jitterbug and the Epilepsy Foundation of Michigan. Of course, this is located at 34802 Gratiot Avenue, east side of Gratiot, just south of 15 Mile Road. And the function goes from 6 to 9. And we're going to make an official Motor City Static appearance at about 7-ish. So have the red carpet out and the velvet ropes. We want to be, are we going for the VIP room? I don't know.
No, we'll just, I just want a place to sit. That's all.
Oh, and okay. Hazard's going to leave his phone in the car so he won't be distracted from signing autographs.
Yeah.
That'll be true.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to print out those photographs to autograph.
Yeah.
I think you should just use your Facebook picture.
There you go.
Just like rip off like some on a copy machine somewhere.
There you go.
More information, epilepsymichigan.org. Epilepsymichigan.org. And John's going to be involved in a summer stroll for epilepsy. There's 6 dates covering everything from Traverse City to Midland to Detroit to Lansing and then down to up to Grand Rapids. Visit the Summer Stroll website to learn how you can create a team, earn fundraising prizes, and stroll to make a difference in the lives of people affected by epilepsy. And John, if you don't mind my asking, when did you discover, or when did your parents discover you first had epilepsy?
I believe it was back when...
Were you newborn, or were you younger?
Jeff.
What, when you were a youngster with Mary Lou and Bernie?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Was it when I was...
Yeah, you would have been a youngster.
Was it before fourth grade?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
Because I remember my... As far as I know, my first seizure was back in fourth grade, but Jeff remembers me back.
Yep.
He lived down the street from
me. He was my neighbor.
Okay. Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know. you survived, John.
You know?
What's your name?
So
my name's Jeff.
Let me ask you a question.
Was he
Since you've known him longer than we have, has he always been like this?
Was he sporting a mullet?
Yes.
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 I was a gangster back then.
Yes, he was always.
You were a droog.
I was not a droog. But it was funny because Johnny lived
three houses.
Yeah, it was third house from my house.
What street?
California and St. Clair Shores.
All right.
And Johnny's father was a Sears salesman, a commissioned salesman.
Yeah. That's respectable.
So this guy, he was a classic. This guy.
Where did he work, at Eastland or?
McComb Mall. And he was one of the classic ones that, like, you would see him during the summer sitting on the ground, like, with a fork, weeding his lawn.
Yes. The stepfather.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was quite the character. So
Well, good for him.
Yes.
Yeah. Is he still around or
no?
Oh,
smoking Pall Malls and drinking coffee. Like
my dad smoked Pall Mall Golds.
Yep. So.
He used to take us to the McComb Mall to the Sears store. My dad probably bought some appliances from your dad.
Yep, probably.
Major
appliances.
My parents probably did too.
Yeah, that was the place. And now Sears is closing. More stores.
Yep.
I got to get my gift card and use it.
Yeah, you better hurry up and use
that. Closing more stores. I didn't know they had any more left to close.
Right. Oh, right. Oh, yeah, they do.
They got the one at Lakeside still open,
mall.
Right?
Yeah.
They're not closing that, are they?
Yeah, they are.
They are?
Yep.
That whole mall is dead.
That's what I heard. Somebody said that Lakeside Mall is going down.
I went reminiscing for some reason through the mall, and it's sad. I remember when that thing opened up. It was in the middle of a cornfield.
Yep.
And we thought, wow, this is it. And now 44 years later... They're going to probably convert it into a residential / corporate office. Ford Motor Company in Dearborn bought part of that mall.
Fairlane?
Oh, really?
Fairlane, and they've got their offices there. And then, on top of that, they're rumored to be in negotiations to buy the Michigan Central train station.
Oh, yes.
I hope that comes through.
That'd be interesting. I think Ford would do good things with that.
Oh, yeah, and then convert back into a train station, and then their offices up on the upper floor.
Yeah.
That building was built in 1913, and even back then, The whole building was not utilized.
Wow.
There were building, there were floors that were finished, but they weren't completely in use. So it would be nice. And it's just a lovely building. Mm-hmm. It's a great building. So,
yeah, no kidding.
All right, Motor City Static on the Biff Radio Network. We do have a website there, John, and I'm sure you and your friends visit it, MotorCityStatic.com. Isn't this a glamorous way to spend a Sunday evening?
Absolutely.
You got to go out and, you know, get us some listeners.
Oh, yeah.
Go.
Yeah. I will. All right. Tell all my friends.
Hey, you should post it on your Facebook.
I will.
That it's going to be on tonight from 9 to 11.
I will. I'll post it.
Which was very easy to find on Facebook. And I've liked.
Yes.
Motor City Static?
No, Team Jitterbug.
Oh, Team Jitterbug. Okay.
All you got to type in is Team Jit. J-I-T-T.
And it shows boom, up.
There it is. So you didn't have to remember the whole thing. Just
John Kopp Team Jit is our guest tonight. K-O-P-P.
Second piece silence.
Team Jitterbug, and we're so gosh darn glad to have you.
I remember
here.
He had that story last year about Pot Bellies doing the drink.
Yeah, that didn't work out so well.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Sorry to hear about that.
We won't tell the rest of that story then. Is it time yet, Ron?
It could very well be.
Do you remember this one, John Kopp? Well, you're a participant in this one, so better pay attention.
Live and direct from the Rumpus Room at La Casa de Hazard, it's time to gather around the radio and play another installment of Metro Detroit's favorite radio contest, Hazard. A guess? Yes, Kitty's Uncle Ron has officially depleted the topic pen tonight, and yet we still have a half hour of expensive and valuable broadcast airtime left. So we present a Surefire Network Time Killer, one that pits the incredible knowledge of our very own handsome, suave, slick, and debonair lady killer, Mr. Jeffrey Lee Hazard, the Earl of Spiffy, Exchequer of Bling, Mr. Johnny Jump Up, and JC himself, against the brain power of our bright, attractive, erudite, and deeply learned Motor City Static regulars.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, thanks. I'm the Motor City
Static regulars. So you got a JC going on there, right? Or what is it?
That's John for John Kopp, H for Hazard, C for Chuck.
Oh, all right.
Gather around the radio, my friends. If you're not too careful, you might learn something. Big Daddy? Big Daddy?
Yo.
I scared me for a minute there.
You do that dramatic pause thing. He likes to do that.
Are you ready to hazard a guess?
Yes!
All right, I appreciate that.
Broadcast history, huh?
There you go.
As I mentioned, on my spring break, John, I try to make something of myself. I just don't lay around munching chips, drinking soda, and watching soap operas. I try to better myself. I try to learn things. And I try to reinforce the things that I have learned.
He didn't go to Florida this time, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I didn't have enough pop bottles. But anyway, my interest lay with history, and specifically the history of broadcasting. Okay, radio, TV, networks, and all that stuff. Since I mentioned it earlier in the show, you know, I was learning all kinds of neat behind-the-scenes things about The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson and all that fun stuff. Can you imagine being on a TV show watched by 15 million people? It's hard to imagine because now everything's so fragmented. You're lucky if you get 1 million or 2 million people. And some of these cable networks only get 200,000 people. Now, back in the day when Bill Bonds was anchoring the 5 o'clock news, he would literally have 1 million people watching him.
Did you know that it was once predicted, or not predicted, but stated,
yeah,
that more babies were conceived to the Tonight Show theme song than any other song in history?
Yeah, that's true. And they often made jokes about that, too. So, mm-hmm. If I could mention it once again, CarsonPodcast.com, CarsonPodcast.com. It's interesting. You'll find all kinds of behind-the-scenes stories there. But that is not what we're going to be discussing here. We're going to be discussing the history of broadcasting.
Hey, so is Doc still alive?
Yeah, he is. He's 90.
Wow.
Tommy Newsom's passed. Johnny's passed. Ed's passed.
It's because Doc was blowing all that stuff out of his lungs.
Yeah, well, you have to have strong lungs to do that. And you know what? One of the dangers of being a musician when it comes to brass? Strokes.
Really?
Strokes, because you are putting a lot of pressure on your brain, mm-hmm, and your lungs.
And thus your heart.
And your heart to force it, the wind, the air through the wind instrument. So,
oh, wow.
So that's that.
Learn all right. Something new every day.
Okay.
Just all the hot air that comes out of Hazard.
Yeah, there you go. All right, I've got three questions. Shouldn't be so difficult at all. And here we go. Hazard, look me in the eye, the good eye.
I got you, since I don't have my phone, I guess so.
Yeah, that's one of the benefits of his phone being left behind, John. Where's my bell?
It's right
there.
Right here.
Oh, I got to reach for it.
Yeah.
Baby.
There we go. Tune it up. Okay, question number one. In 1922, you remember 1922.
Oh, yeah.
Like it was yesterday.
David Sarnoff worked for the Radio Corporation of America. It was back then a subsidiary of General Electric. Okay? So they got this man named David Sarnoff, worked for RCA, which was, a subsidiary of General Electric.
Yep.
He wrote a memo to his boss. His boss was Owen D. Young, then the chairman of RCA. In a memo to his boss, David Sarnoff envisioned a national broadcasting company. Okay? He's thinking out loud.
Yep.
Boss, I see a national broadcasting company. Whatever became of that company?
Yes. Oh, it became Owens and Corning Fiberglass, I think.
That's good, Hazard.
That's a good one. That's a good one. In 1922, David Sarnoff worked for the Radio Corporation of America, a subsidiary of General Electric. In a memo to his boss, Owen D. Young, then chairman of RCA, Sarnoff envisioned a national broadcasting company. Whatever became of that company?
It became NBC.
Became NBC. John Kopp, what say you?
NBC.
NBC?
Chuck. Owens and Corning Fiberglass.
This is pretty funny.
I'm going with NBC.
NBC. The answer is NBC. On September 9th, 1926, NBC was incorporated. It wasn't until November 15th, 1926, that a four-hour broadcast took place from the location of the old Waldorf Astoria Hotel at 5th Avenue and 34th Street, the present-day location of the Empire State Building. Okay, so history, that's a lot of history there at that corner.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Back on that day, the network had 25 stations, with the farthest being in Kansas City, Kansas. Among the recognizable stars were Weber and Fields, which was a comedy team, and they were from Chicago, and Will Rogers from Kansas City. So they had a live remote, okay? In Detroit, the program was heard on WWJ, which today is 950 on the AM dial. How about that, huh?
Wow.
Except they can't say WWJ.
They say double WJ.
They say something that just sounds like they got rocks in their mouth.
Is that the one with Roberta Giacina?
Yep.
Yeah.
A lot of broadcasters don't enunciate correctly.
And I don't want to bring up names, but this person who has also been on Channel 2, and he's a reporter. And I think he just talks so fast that he's angry.
Well, who is that?
Charlie Langton.
I worked with Charlie.
Nice guy.
He's a very nice guy.
My first video deposition I ever did
was with him.
He was one of the attorneys.
Wow.
Nice guy.
Yeah, he's great. I worked with him at the urinal.
I thought he was a gremlin there for a second there. You know?
Charlie Langton, WWE, very animated.
Slow down and say WW, please.
I need to reach out and see him.
Imagine
again.
If they worked at W4. They'd be like... All right, next question, Ryan.
All right, next question. The radio networks, Jeff, became so popular so quickly that on January 1st, 1927, RCA... divided its network into two distinct camps, the Red Network and the Blue Network. The Blue Network offered culture, music, drama, and commentary. The Red Network offered comedy, variety, games, and popular entertainment shows. Some shows had sponsors, but a majority of them had none. Okay? If they didn't have any sponsors, how did RCA make their money?
Wow, they didn't have sponsors.
The radio networks became so popular so quickly that on January 1st, 1927, RCA divided its network into two distinct camps, the Red Network and the Blue Network. The Blue Network offered culture, music, drama, and commentary. The Red Network offered comedy, variety, games, and popular entertainment shows. Some shows had sponsors, but a majority of them had none. If you don't have any sponsors on the radio, how did RCA make their money? And for the record, the Blue Network was the one that had what they called sustained programs. In other words, they didn't really have a lot of advertising. When you sustain something, it's just putting anything on the air. So if you're not making any money, you're in the business of running a network, in this case, two networks, Hazard, your RCA, and you made no money. Well,
wow.
What did you do? How did you make your money? Seems odd now. If you have a network and you're not selling ad time, how do you survive, John Kopp? How do you survive?
I'm thinking.
Well, what they did, little known fact, was they went into syndication. They sold it to YouTube. They moved out to California. They relocated out to Silicon Valley. Sold the, you know,
yeah, right.
The founders of Google bought them, and you know they're all set.
At this time, the Silicon Valley was just a valley.
Wow.
Here's the question.
How
did RCA, the Radio Corporation of America, how did they make their money if they couldn't sell advertising?
They're selling radios.
Selling radios.
Yeah.
John Kopp, what do you think?
Sounds right to me.
Sounds right to you. You're going to commit to that?
Yeah.
You're gonna follow his coattails.
I guess, sure.
Wow.
All right. Well, you know. Yeah.
Although this question is about as long as the book War and Peace, can you read it one more time?
The radio networks became so popular so quickly that on January 1st, 1927, now remember they incorporated in September, they had their first show in November. Mm-hmm. Already in January, it became so popular that RCA divided its network into two distinct camps, the Red Network and the Blue Network. Mm-hmm. The Blue Network offered culture, music, drama, and commentary. The Red Network offered comedy, variety, games, and popular entertainment shows. Now, our show would probably be on the Red Network because we have no culture. Some shows had sponsors, but a majority of them had none. None. How did RCA make their money?
Well, my first answer was going to be they started selling advertising to kind of break up the cost of a sponsorship. So they,
yeah.
But you said they didn't sell advertising.
No, majority of the shows were unsponsored.
Self-sustaining or whatever you called them.
Yeah.
So.
Hazard says they did it to sell radios, and John is gullible enough to go along with that.
I'm going to say they started RCA Records, the record label.
They started the record label.
Yeah. Okay. But you don't look like you're real proud of that answer.
Well, you're the one who's going to be, you know.
But you liked Hazard's answer.
Roll the dice. Let's go. Come on.
Come on.
I see the little dog with his nose
nipper.
By the nipper.
His master's
his nose
voice.
By the speaker. I don't care if I go down in flames. I'm going to say they started the record label.
Well, you're going to go down in flames. RCA's goal all along was to, Hazard?
Sell radios.
Sell radios.
There you go. Not airtime. Shows that have no sponsors are called sustaining programs. So how did they come up with the colors? Red and Blue Network? Either pushpins or blue and red pencils, because the engineers were mapping out who covers what. And there was a religious white network, believe it or not, for sermons and church shows. Church shows. And over the mountains in California, there was an orange network and a gold network. Because the problem was they didn't have any phone lines over the mountains. So they had problems. They couldn't bridge the mountains. So they split up their network.
Wow.
They were using telegraph lines, and it was very low fidelity. Okay? All right, read back the score. Who's doing what?
John and Hazard are winning. I got one. They both got two.
All right. All right, here we go. Question
but
number
I did
three.
It for Nipper.
Yeah, you did. Question number three. Here we go for a sweep there, Hazard. In 1941, the Federal Communications Commission wanted to break up the NBC monopoly of the Red and Blue Networks. The commission ordered RCA to sell one of the properties to satisfy the ruling. Okay?
Hey, you got a monopoly here. You got to sell one of these.
RCA sold the Blue Network to a man named Edward J. Noble, a multi-million dollar candy maker. Okay? His brand of candy is still available at the checkout of your favorite supermarket today, although it is not owned by, although it is now owned by Mars Incorporated. What is that candy? Edward J. Noble, a multi-million dollar candy maker, bought the RCA Blue Network, the NBC Blue Network. He was a candy maker. His brand of candy is still available at the checkout of your favorite supermarket, although it is now owned by Mars Incorporated. What is that candy?
Ooh,
that's a tough one.
Yeah, it is.
Candy.
That's like the $1,000 question on Jeopardy right there.
Yeah. If you want a clue, I could throw you a lifesaver, but I'm not going to.
I think lemon heads is not the answer you're looking for. No, let's go with...
In 1941, the FCC wanted to break up the NBC
monopoly. All right, I got all that. What was the name? Who owns them nowadays?
Edward J. Noble.
Mars.
Mars does? All right, I'm going to say it is... wait a minute.
Come on, Hazard. Today.
Who's got Snickers? Who's got Snickers?
Mars. Mars owns everything, for God's sakes.
No, they don't. Hershey's got the other half.
Don't make me familiar with Snickers.
You're going to go with Snickers.
Yeah, Snickers.
John Kopp, what say you?
What?
Three Musketeers.
No.
Edward J. Noble, a multi-million dollar candy maker. His brand of candy is still available at the checkout of your favorite supermarket, although it is now owned by Mars Incorporated. What?
Skip.
John Kopp, is that candy?
I'm going to go with Payday.
Payday. Snickers Payday.
You threw us a lifesaver, didn't you, Ron?
Yes, I did. Yeah,
lifesaver.
I thought so.
Yes!
I thought so.
Lifesavers was first created in 1912 by Clarence Crane, a Cleveland, Ohio candy maker. And by the way, he was the father of the famed poet Hart Crane. Crane developed a line of hard mints but did not have the space or machinery to make them. He contracted with a pill manufacturer to press the mints into shape. In 1913, Crane sold the formula for his Lifesavers candy to Edward Noble for only $2,900.
Wow.
Noble started his own candy company and began producing and selling the mints known as Peppermint Lifesavers. So there you go, the final score.
2-2-2!
Yeah,
that's what I get for paying attention.
There you go. Sneaked that right by Hazard. He didn't catch on.
I caught it. I just didn't. I didn't think I would.
That sounds like a Hazard response.
Hey, what?
Hey, what up?
Okay.
All right, one final song. Let's
While we were doing all that, I summoned Keith Moon. This is Bellboy from The Who's Quadrophenia on Motor City Static.
Well, how about that? The Who, Bellboy, right?
Correctamundo.
All right.
Pete Townsend and the boys.
I'd just like to say that earlier in the show, off mic, Hazard was harassing me.
Okay.
About playing the Supremes.
Right.
And about bringing my music today in a pink gift bag.
He did, yes.
Yeah, but he carries a Merce.
Yes, you do. John Kopp, thank you very much for stopping by.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Nope, no problem.
Happy
to be here.
We will see you next Saturday night.
Sounds good.
I need to get out. You know, I need
to
get
out. Next Saturday.
Next Saturday. I need to get out, so I'll be there. And if you want more...
Dress however you feel comfortable, Ron.
Flip-flops and shorts.
Perfect.
EpilepsyMichigan.org, EpilepsyMichigan.org, or on Facebook, it's Team Jitterbug. Just look it up, right?
Right. Team Jitterbug for epilepsy.
There you go.
Hazard will have his phone in the restaurant, so feel free to text him.
All right. Don't forget, MotorCityStatic.com, MotorCityStatic.com. Weirdsville Records is here next week, right?
Correct.
So we're looking forward to that.
Yep.
All right. That's it. Have a wonderful week.